Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
...100 years since the first 24 hours of Le Mans, an integral part of any motorsport fan's life and mine. I'm Ben Colston-Juris, and here are some stories from the last 50 years of Le Mans with my dad, Bob. This is Stories of Le Mans with Bob Colston-Juris, and it's episode 6, so this is the last of 6 recordings that we're doing. It's been great to have a chat, Dad, and find out some of your experiences, because you know, around the dinner table, we don't tend to talk about the old times. It's sad, and I wish we did more, but it's been good to be able to do it.
Yeah, it has, actually. And also to hear your memories as well, because you've got memories of Le Mans.
Yes, but I've only done 9, and mine started maybe 12 years ago, rather than first one 50 years ago. That makes you feel old.
Yeah, it does make me feel old. Thanks very much.
And one of the things that's changed a lot over the 50 years, well, in general, is the way that Le Mans has been covered. The advent, I mean, I think the first time I did Le Mans, we rarely had cameramen on cameras during the night. We had, at that point, coverage, full 24-hour coverage, and one of my very first memories of being part of Le Mans working, because I did go to Le Mans as a fan, and that was my first year when I was 19 with a bunch of school friends, and we just did it like the 230,000 fans. We drove up, we bought some beers, we camped and had a good time. And then the year after I started to do work, and I've worked ever since. But Motors TV did everything in 2000 and something. And I was working for Motors TV, as you remember, at that time. And it was the first time, I think, that Le Mans had been covered so extensively across all sessions, and they even broadcast the parade on the Friday and the scrutineering. They did absolutely everything in a way that still to this day, Eurosport is unable to do, because obviously it has so many other things going on. But that's in the 2000s. Rewind back to the 1970s. What kind of information were you being given, and how much of the race did you really know was going on? Was it like Dakar, where you didn't really know half of the stories that actually went out on track?
I think that's probably true. You didn't know what was going on around the circuit. It's a great long circuit. You hadn't a clue what was going on. But as they came past you down the pit straight, you'd be up at the top of that grandstand opposite, and you could look down and you'd think, well, those two, I think, are probably on the same lap. You might have a bit of a screen, a bit of a readout somewhere, which would give you an idea who was on, roughly speaking, the same lap. You'd have a bulletin every hour, which would give you the order at that time. And depending on whether they had further laps, pit stops or not, you would know whether they'd come into the pits recently or been delayed or whatever, and if they were on the same lap or not. And that was the difficult thing. I think when I did my bulletins on the half hour, I got more instant readouts there in race control. That was in the race control tower, whereas most of the time I'd be spent either in the pit lane or up in the media grandstand, if you like, at the top of that major grandstand opposite the pits. But the media has changed quite a lot. Of course, we had Jean-Charles Laurent, who was the French commentator at the time, and he would be commentating and all the time. And particularly, for example, if there was a major yellow flag around the circuit, he'd come on and say there was yellow flags are out or something, and he might say which car is involved. He couldn't actually say what sort of incident it was or anything like that, but at least he could also commentate as they went past the pits. who was close by. And if you listen to that French commentary, that would help you, as in you and I, British speakers, to understand what was going on. That helped a lot, getting that.
And he would have his information basically from race control, so a marshal post radioing in to say we yellow, because it would have been that way around, wouldn't it? Nowadays, race control say yellow flag at marshal point 153, and then the marshal puts out his flag. But back in those days, it would have been the other way around, because the race control center wouldn't have visibility on the track.
No, exactly, exactly. They wouldn't have the visibility. They wouldn't be able to see what was going on. So it was up to the marshals to do their own thing and to put out the and to report back. And so communications were very important, but they weren't necessarily nearly as sophisticated as they are now. So there was a big difference in that way. And media in general, you know, then obviously we had a radio station, but BBC Radio were covering it for United Kingdom. So you'd have Simon Taylor on the hour giving a rough rundown. So you'd hear that on the radio, but you wouldn't necessarily have anything on TV. So, and then you'd also have the daily papers in the UK. I'm sorry, this is a bit UK-centric at the moment for our American listeners, but it was a bit, the daily papers probably had a correspondent. Each daily paper would have a correspondent there, just as they have a correspondent at each Grand Prix these days, but they don't have a correspondent at Le Mans these days. Maybe they might, maybe, but not necessarily.
Does that mean then the interest in the 70s and the 80s, there was, you felt more interest generally? Was it a better known event than it is now?
Yeah, in a way it was. But at the same time, we didn't have 50,000 people, 50,000 Brits there, whereas we have now.
So at least.
Yeah, it's the second or third biggest motorsport event of the UK. Mm. And yet it isn't even covered by UK media sometimes. I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll look up on the Monday after Le Mans and there'll be nothing in some of the sports pages, in the Times, in the Telegraph, certainly not in the Mirror or the Sun, unless there's been a big accident.
Yeah.
And yet we also had Motor and Autocar, and they were great supporters of Le Mans. I told you how I went to Le Mans the first time with Autocar, who actually ran a trip to Le Mans. Motor I were there as well, Michael Bowler. They were different correspondents also. So while Mike Dudson covered Grand Prix racing for Motor, he wouldn't necessarily do Le Mans. Somebody else might do that. Michael Bowler might do that, the sports editor. So you'd have different people. And as I mentioned earlier, Formula One people weren't necessarily sports car people. So you had slightly different people covering the race for various different publications. And you'd see journalists at Le Mans who you didn't see the rest of the year at Formula One races, for example. So it was a bit specific. But no worse for it. And of course, they were listening to Radio Le Mans once Radio Le Mans came on, and that was their primary source of information for quite some time. And these days, of course, there's a lot more PR, there's a lot more manufacturer involvement as well. The manufacturers are keen to get their message across.
And social media makes such a massive difference in the flow of information, so that it almost allows you, I say this very quietly, to be able to do an efficient commentary not being there. Not that I condone that kind of behavior at all, because as a commentator, we always want to be on site. But there is so much information, if you're looking at the right places, that you really can do an informed commentary without actually having to talk to anybody in the paddock. And it's a crazy different world that we're already seeing so many motorsport championships adopting, and keeping as many people from flying as possible for sustainability reasons and yada, yada, yada. And social media makes a big difference. But it is interesting to see to imagine trying to cover a story, to kind of cover the event, and understand the all these different things when you didn't have. When was the first time they had TV, proper kind of live TV coverage? Was that happening in the 70s, 80s?
I'd say probably the 80s. I don't think it was in the 70s. You might have some live stuff, but not the full race at all. And I always think of Le Mans as being a bit like the Nürburgring. I went to Formula 2 races at the Nürburgring, not Grand Prix, sadly. And you never had a clue what was going on for about 13 kilometres.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, just, or 13 miles, is it? Only that sort of kilometre past the pits and round the back of the pits. And then they were out in the country and you had no idea what sort of dramas were going on out there. None at all. Never did do. Your race report couldn't possibly reflect those. But there must have been huge dramas in those sprint races. And of course, as for Nürburgring 24 Hours, which John Hindhoff covers for Radio Le Mans, that must be extraordinary, the stuff that goes on out there, all sorts of incidents and moments with slower cars and things like that. But you just cannot see it. You know, it's impossible to cover.
Even with a live 24-hour feed, they rely upon the helicopter and the onboard cameras overnight and even during the day for half the circuit. And as you say, with 100 and something cars, you're never going to see everything. But Le Mans, you can't really get away with it now. I think in the early part of the week, they have less cameras covering the track. So there are sections that are not necessarily blind, but a little less covered. So if an incident happens at a certain angle, you might not see it because the camera's in the wrong place for that incident. But come race day, the full coverage, I think they have 140 cameramen for the 24-hour race alone, mainly down to silly French labour regulations, but also just the need of 40-odd cameras perhaps out on track. Those cameramen can only do a certain amount of hours, so then you swap out for another one, and then they'll swap out for another one. But it is such a huge undertaking to cover the event. And now I don't think you can really get away with having an accident and it not being seen.
Yeah, exactly. Just about everything is seen in some form or other, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as I say, there's nothing on radio these days, BBC Radio. There's nothing on BBC Television or ITV. And yet it's extensively on TV if you know where to find it, and extensively on radio when you know where to find it.
I imagine that with looking to the future, as this is our last episode, things will change. You've got Ferrari, you've got the might of Ferrari, you've got the might of Lamborghini coming in, BMW as well. Yes, there's a lot of money going towards Formula One in 2026, but there's a lot of loyalty in hypercar, bigger and better grids, the GT3 regulations that are coming in for the lower class will drag other manufacturers in. Those manufacturers will want to make a noise. The likes of Mercedes probably will come in with their GT3 model. And therefore, all those manufacturers will put money into marketing, and that will push coverage in other directions. And you know, Audi were big in paying for more cameras, for more coverage across different places, for it to go into a wider audience. It was on, yes, it was on Eurosport, but it was also on other channels in the UK as well at the same time a couple of years ago. And over in America, such a massive, important market. I can see the landscape of how we consume Le Mans change thanks to the manufacturer involvement that is, you know, they're only really dipping their feet in their water right now. There's so much more to come. And I know the bosses at ACO and the bosses at WEC will be pushing and trying to make sure that happens. So wherever you are, you don't miss a beat. And there is no kind of, it's no longer hidden behind paywalls and paid streams and things like that.
Yeah, it's a very exciting future. And I'm not going to be at Le Mans this year, but I am going to be probably in Bahrain, the final round of the championship. And I'm really looking forward to it already. So, have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you very much for sharing some of your stories. It's been great fun for chatting with you. And if you've missed, we have done six. So you could tick them off your little checklist in your campsite. and you'll be able to catch up all these different stories from memories of drivers, cars, the first Le Mans in 1972 for Dad. How did he get there? How did it all work out? What was he doing? And then, of course, our latter ones, including memories of Radio Le Mans itself. I've been Ben Cosenduras talking to my dad, Bob. Thanks for listening.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.